Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Sabres lost to the Winnipeg Jets 3-1 yesterday. Jack Eichel scored. Carter Hutton, 26 saves for Buffalo, 27-21-7 now. In his first start since February 1st, that doesn't make sense. The Sabres, who defeated the Detroit Red Wings 3-1 here on Saturday, failed for the eighth straight time to win consecutive games, 0-7-1, and have not won two in a row since December 11th and 13th. They are 4-7-1 in their last 12. Thomas Greiss made 26 saves. New York Islanders won their third straight game, 2-1 against the Minnesota Wild at Barclays Center on Sunday. Anthony Beauvillier and Devin Taves scored for New York, which is 9-1-2 since January 13th and has five point lead atop the Metro Division for the first time since February 19th. I didn't write this today, by the way. The Islanders will be here tomorrow night to face the Sabres. Vladimir Tarasenko completed a hat trick 16 seconds into overtime to lift the St. Louis Blues to their sixth straight victory, 5-4 against Nashville Predators at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday. St. Louis matched its longest winning streak since winning six in a row from March 17th to March 27th back just last year. Blues swept a home-and-home against the Preds, having won 3-2 at Enterprise Center on Saturday. Cam Ward made 43 saves to help the Blackhawks to their seventh straight win, 5-2 over the Detroit Red Wings at the United Center on Sunday. The Hawks have outscored their opponents 37-20 during their seven-game win streak. Patrick Kane extended his point streak to 14 games by scoring from the left faceoff circle on a breakaway to make it 4-2 at 16:27 of the third period. Hawks also put up a bunch against the Sabres, so they're on fire. That's the end of your sports update. I'm Andrew Peters. Back over the instigator. Struggled on that one.
That was a struggle today.
That was my first update in a while. We were back at the old stomping grounds last week at Entercom. Brayden took the reins. Look at that shot. Brayden took the reins for me.
Yeah, he does a way better job than you.
He handled it for me. But you know what? My last update note there, the Hawks. It's unreal what they're doing. I mean, Paul Hamilton said
not liking it at all.
Paul Hamilton joins us right now, but got to ask him, what about these Hawks, Hammy?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the Hawks to hang a seven on the Sabres in their building. But, they figured it out. But when you got Patrick Kane doing things that he's never done before in his career, he's done a lot in his career. And to be able to score the way he's been scoring and pick up the points the way he's been doing and leading the way for them, they've just been on fire.
The tight squeeze in the West in the standings has allowed Chicago to stay alive. And not only are they alive, Hammy, I mean, I feel like with the way they're playing, if a team just picks it up at the right time, you know, we see it in football all the time. I know there's more games in hockey, but if a team picks it up at the right time and they just get rolling and they start to feel it, you know, they can make a run. And I feel like Chicago's that team. And I feel like if they do that, and we've talked about it here on the show before, Pat Kane is a surefire Hart Trophy, maybe winner.
And the St. Louis Blues have done the same thing. They look like
right.
They were totally dead in the water. And because of the tightness of the Western Conference, they were able to go on a streak and get themselves totally back into it. So, yeah, you're right. Just the way things are tight there and the way things are, and they are in the East, too. I mean, Carolina's come back up. Philadelphia's come back up when both looked like they weren't going to be a factor in it. And, the East is very tight also.
Paulie Hamilton joining the instigators here, WGR 550 and MSG River.
Well, we're gonna give a pat on the back to superstar Patrick Kane, and he deserves everything that that we're gonna speak about him. He's on a 14 game winning streak. That team has seemed to turn around. But let me tell you something. This guy that I'm gonna speak of literally needs a huge pat on the back because he's, I think, solidified that second line role at center in Dylan Strome. Since his time that he came over from Arizona in that trade, he has 30 points in 32 games. If he played a full season, he'd be on pace for 70 plus points. What are your thoughts on him, Paulie?
I never understood why he couldn't catch on in Arizona. I went down and saw McDavid play some games, in which, in case, I saw Strome play some games. The Brincat was down there on that team, too, and he was just phenomenal. And I just never could figure out what is going on here. Why can't he catch on in Arizona? I wasn't surprised where he was drafted or anything like that. And it really was puzzling to me, and now he's shown up in Chicago with the Brincat, where they had that good chemistry, and is ripping it up and playing the way I thought he could play.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for stories like this because, you know, like, you never want to throw the word bust around when it comes to a player. You always want to, you know, you hope to see them be one of the young stars of the league. And you know what? Good for him for getting the change of scenery, because this would not be happening if he were in Arizona. I'm not saying that he's the reason why the Hawks... Well, you know what? He's a huge reason why the Hawks have improved, because he's solidified a huge spot there. Let's talk Sabres, Hammy. I don't know. You want to get right into the tweet that we read about the Skinner thing, or do you want to just ask him about the weekend first? How do you want to do that?
Your show.
No, your show.
I want to know, you know, what his thoughts are of the two games this weekend. They've obviously struggled defensively in their zone. What were your thoughts on the overall game in against Detroit and Winnipeg over the weekend, Paulie?
I love what I saw against Detroit right off the bat. Marco Scandella is in front of the net, cross-checking Glendening about five times, really doing his inner Craig Revee there. And that's like, all right, here we go. Finally, they are finally paying attention to the front of net and eliminating people. Thomas Vanek wound up on the seat of his pants. You know, with their line in. They're not going to score when they're being cross-checked and knocked around a little bit. So a message was received, and I thought they did a good job of that. One thing I loved in the Winnipeg game is how the Sabres got on Winnipeg right in the first period. They were on them hard. They were tracking them hard.
Yeah, they were.
And really forcing turnovers, and they were initiating contact against a bigger team. It didn't last. And for a period, the Sabres went out and initiated the contact. And I love that. They didn't care that Winnipeg was bigger. They were going to hit the Jets. And the Jets finally woke up and said, wait a minute, why are we letting these guys hit us and knock us around here? And it ended after that. But I really enjoyed how the Sabres came out and initiated play, initiated contact. Really should have scored a couple of goals, because it really helped them, I thought, played better than the Jets start that game off.
But, Hammy, but no moral victories.
Yeah. Well, it really, I think they should have won the game because of the way they were playing, but they couldn't convert their chances. I thought Buffalo had the better chances, and that was a game where they couldn't convert them. Now, for the most part, they've been doing a pretty good job of scoring goals, but they couldn't keep the puck out of their own net. Now, for two games, they've kept the puck out of their own net. Three goals was enough. Actually, three goals would have been enough to beat Winnipeg, too. But they couldn't get it up to three because they couldn't convert on their chances.
So is there, I mean, I'll ask you, Riv, and I'll ask you, too, Hammy, the same question. I mean, isn't there something to be said? And maybe I'm reaching here. I mean, I'm still trying to think like a player in a locker room, because I always like to give the players the benefit of the doubt. And you always remember how players are feeling. You can always kind of throw yourself back in the room and be like, eh, you don't like how that sounds. You don't like how that feels. But isn't there something to be said for the guys for how they responded after the Carolina game, because I mean, you know, there were questions going around everywhere, and I feel like, you know, that could have been a, I don't want to say a defining moment for the team, but it could have been a you know, a storyline had they not come out and beaten Detroit, or, you know, had they beaten Winnipeg, it would have been great. But, you know, if they didn't come out and play well against Winnipeg, it would have been a storyline. So I thought you have to at least, you know, throw them a bone there, no pun intended, bone.
Yeah, but the thing is, too, Housley challenged them after that Carolina game because the coverage wasn't just bad, it was horrendous, and had been for a while. The guys are just standing there wide open with Sabres sometimes next to them, but oblivious to the fact that this guy could be the guy that's going to be dangerous to score the goal. And, you know, he told them, he said in his post-game press conference, we're too easy to play against in front of the net. Nobody pays the price in front of our net. Now for two games that's happened, but my question is, why did we wait 50 games to call a team out about that? I mean, you know, it's something you have to want to do, and they've wanted to do it the last two games and knock people down.
But I don't think it's been 50 games, and I remember Housley kind of bit back a little bit in his post-game press conference with when he said, you know, someone said it's taken 50 games, and he's like, well, wait, what do you mean 50 games? I don't agree with that. I think that's unfair, because I think there were points where this team was playing with some bite. They were playing with a little pushback. They were playing with a little nastiness. I mean, and it wasn't consistent.
How many guys, though?
Well, okay, fine. But, you know, I'm just saying.
And I don't think it was in front of the net either.
Well, I don't necessarily think that it's every guy.
Other areas of the ice, but I don't think at any point in this season they've really consistently made players pay a price in front of their net.
Yeah, can I add something to that, Pauly? I know that we're talking about the majority of goals are being scored right directly in front of the net. And one thing that needs to be stated here, this is not just about we're going to single out the defense here, okay? It's very important to understand that in defensive hockey, it's not just two defensemen that are the ones defending the your defensive zone. You need all five players. You need the two wingers that need to collapse down. They need to be stronger and pick up and identify who's the dangerous man in front of the net. They have not been very good at that. This last weekend, much better. So it's something that this team can really build off, because in order for them to make the playoffs, it's not about how many goals this team's going to score. It's about how well they can play defense. That's how they're going to make the playoffs.
It's funny you brought that up, because Connor Sherry and I talked about that in pregame yesterday. I wanted to get a forward view on that, you know, the defense gets roasted here for some of the coverages that go on. But isn't there a disconnect between the forwards and the defense before the Detroit game? We talked after the Detroit game. I said, isn't there a disconnect that we didn't see against the Red Wings? And the Red Wing game maybe was a lot better that way. And he agreed that the forwards and the defense just weren't in sync together.
Well, you certainly don't want to hear that coming from a forward after 50 games or 55 games in a season. You should be rolling on all cylinders right now. Everybody should know their responsibilities, especially in the defensive zone.
All right, Islanders in here tomorrow night, 7 o'clock puck drop. Challenge gets harder. I think the Islanders are pretty good, and I feel like they're for real, Hammy. I mean, what can you tell us about the Islanders that we should be prepared for leading into tomorrow?
Well, you want to talk about a coach that stresses the defensive zone and got his team to buy in? Barry Trotz has done that. I mean, he didn't have John Tavares anymore. And, they signed Robin Leonard to come in goal. Robin Leonard, I think I can safely say, is having the best season of his career. But you can't predict that coming in when you sign him on a one-year contract, especially when, you know, he's coming off personal problems. And you just don't know how that's going to happen for them. But structure that they have defensively and the buy-in that Barry Trotz has been able to get that team. Andrew, you mentioned it earlier. They're 9-1-2 in their last 12 games and played well before that and are a first-place club in the Metropolitan Division. Raise your hand if you thought that was happening this year.
Yep.
And it's just amazing the buy-in Trotz has gotten. Get that team to play a winning type brand of hockey.
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Trot's getting a lot of credit, but the old feral Lou going around there too keeps players honest on the ice and off the ice, and especially in your defensive zone.
Structure. Lou's the most structured guy in the game. Old school. He brought in an old school coach who's very structured. My question, do you know how many 20 goal scorers they have on the team this year? Now, this is a team that's number two in the Eastern Conference. Do you know how many 20 goal scorers they have?
I don't zero. Believe they have any, do they?
They have zero. Do you know how many 50-point guys or over a point a game guys they have? They have zero. The reality is this team is going to live and die on how well they play defense. Yes, they have guys that can score. They have Anders Lee, who is a multiple 30-goal scorer in the league. But they don't have a ton of scoring. They get it through a collective group of guys that all play a very tough brand hockey. And, you know, they care about their defensive side of the game first. And then they allow their offense just to take care of itself.
Oh, they absolutely do. But what amazes me is how a coach can come in. And as Andrew said, he knows Lou Lamoriello. He's been around him. So before a coach probably even gets to him, I would imagine at some point in training camp, Lou Lamoriello tells the group, I would think, how things are going to be done when you're going to be a New York Islander, how you're going to act, how you're going to do things. And I'm sure the players know right up front what's expected of them.
And he's got some of them young. He's got some young players that he can start to mold their minds into how to get them to think. And I mean, even Anders Lee isn't necessarily, you know, he's 28, but they've got some good young players in that team. And that's how, like Lou, I mean, we've talked about him before, like builder, right? That's what he's in the Hall of Fame for. Hammy, let's switch gears here. I got a tweet from Nicholas Boyd, and he said, channeling my inner Andrew Peters with a less popular thought. Would it be such a terrible thing to play meaningful games in March but miss out on playoffs? If the Blues make it, we'd have three first-round picks and one in the lottery. What do you think about that?
I have never changed my expectations from a 10-game winning streak to a pretty bad skid. I've always felt that playing meaningful games in March is what this team needs for the next step. And hopefully if you play meaningful games, maybe you get into the playoffs and make a bigger step. But I think they need to be playing those games, and they have to mean something. And I never changed that, even though the 10-game winning streak came. I never thought to myself, well, wait a minute. You know, maybe they should make some trades for rentals and go for a Stanley Cup here. No, I never thought that. I never felt they were as good as that 10-game winning streak was. And I never felt they were as bad as when they were losing here either. I think they're somewhere in between. I think there's been vast improvement. Here we are in February, and what are they? Within one win, or they're equal in wins what they had all last year. I mean, so there is progress being made with the hockey club. And as I said, my expectations have remained the same.
Yeah, you know what I like too? I think the best thing about it was early in the year, we were all hot on watching the St. Louis Blues draft pick and where are they going to end up and all that stuff. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if the two go hand in hand, but I mean, if one of these big time RFAs were to become available, and you have three first round picks going into the draft, I mean, you have currency at the draft to go and trade maybe one of those first-round picks, maybe an Alex Nylander, maybe your pick next year, I mean, to go and acquire somebody that you can start the season with.
Yeah, and those are the types of trades that are made at the draft in the off-season. I'm not anticipating much at the trade deadline because those aren't the type of trades that usually, and I stress usually, come up. Sometimes they do. So Botro likely will get roasted at the deadline by some media members who don't understand exactly the game and what's going on. But I rate him what's he going to do in the off season, and how is he going to mold this team whether it's through free agency, which really isn't the way to go, unless you're going to offer sheet somebody, and with trades that they can make and use that. And really, a guy like Brendan Gooley, could he be something that could bring you that type of player that you just spoke about? You know, as part of a deal. Do I want to lose Cooley? No, I still think he's going to be a good NHL defenseman. With his speed, he's exactly fits what today's NHL is. But, you know, they had a good free agent signing in Pilot, which when people are roasting Botterill, I think they forget about. And
I feel like, though, Hammy, if you move on from Beaulieu, right, like say you end up moving him, I kind of feel like Gooley would be a really nice piece to be able to slide in there. I mean, I don't know. Like, Hunwick isn't necessarily, you know, a regular. I think he knows that. I think we all kind of know that. But I'd be fearful to get rid of Gooley. I think, I don't know. There's something about that.
What I'm trying to say is if it lands you the type of person that can play in your top six, you know, that type of a player, and he has to be part of that deal, what I'm trying to say is he's not untouchable. I don't want to trade him. I'm not looking to trade him. He would have to bring me something like that if I'm going to trade those first-round picks or something like Gooley. Well, what I was trying to talk about is what they have as currency with the picks that they have with a guy like Gooley who maybe has fallen a step in on the ladder because Pilot's here now. And, of course, you drafted Dahlin, but still I think is going to be a good player down the road. But if you want to get that piece that you think, maybe you've got a big scoring winger who's 25 years old who you can acquire and put on in your top six. But it's going to take a first-round pick, and it's going to take maybe a prospect like Gooley.
Are the Sabres getting Josh Anderson, Paul? Is that what you just said? Did I hear that? Did I hear that right?
What's that?
Sabres are getting Josh Anderson. Is that what you just said?
I don't know if I'd trade Gooley for Josh Anderson. I would have to look further into that.
I would. Josh Anderson is going to be, you watch, he's going to be a 25, I think he'll be a 30-goal scorer in this league someday.
He has 19 this year in 54 games.
19 goals, so he's already on pace for 30.
He's a Cy Young winner, right?
Yeah, if he can be a consistent 30-goal scorer in this league.
What do you have last year, Petey?
19 in 63 games.
19, so he's a 20-plus goal scorer, and he has the ability, as he continues, to be a 30-goal scorer. Let me ask you this, Pauly. What does Botterill do with Skinner at the trade deadline if he's still not signed?
Well, if he wishes to trade him, that's up to Skinner. His no movement comes with him because he was an unrestricted free agent. So he would have to approve any trade that the Sabres would want to make. Now, if the Sabres have gone through negotiations and know for sure they have no chance of signing him, then, yeah, they go to just Skinner and try to see if there's someplace they could work out a deal that he would approve.
What do you get for Skinner? Do you think there's a first-rounder in there?
I think, yeah. I think a team that's looking to win a Stanley Cup that might want to acquire that would definitely put a first-round pick in there. But I wanted to add, too, from everything I'm hearing, I don't think Jason Botterill is of the mindset. He wants to take Skinner. He wants to play it out. And if it takes till July 1st to play it out, he wants to play it out. It doesn't sound like he's being, from what I'm hearing, he has a real interest in trading Jeff Skinner. He would like Jeff Skinner to be a Buffalo Sabre, and he wants to do everything he can to do that.
Hammy, you're the man, a.k.a. The Bone, at PHAM1717 on Twitter, and we appreciate your time. We'll get you on again soon. Thanks so much on the short notice, buddy.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Paul Hamilton, kind enough to join us on short notice. Sabres not skating today. We'll talk more about that Jeff Skinner conversation when we return, because what is the market for Skinner? And what about, I don't know. Here comes an unpopular thought. We'll see what Old Man River thinks. Here it comes after the break. WGR 550 and MSG, the instigator. I'm going to be instigating. Yes, Instigators, about to instigate WGR 550 and MSG. It's great to be back in the studio, I got to say, people tweeting us, telling us how much they love seeing us back on the tube. They're loving the beards, eh?
Yeah.
You grow a beard pretty fast. You had a comment you wanted to make about the Grammys last night.
I didn't.
You didn't have a comment about the Grammys?
No. Where is that coming from?
I just wanted to see if you knew the Grammys were on last night.
I did.
You did know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought for sure. I just lost a bet in the back. I had money saying that you wouldn't know. It was just a coffee, large one-on-one. That's 206. So I thought for sure you wouldn't know. Good for you, though. Okay. Yep. Skipping gears here. Unpopular thought here. So I had this thought last year with Kane, in case you wanted to bring him back. But I'll ask the question, because if you were to look around the league and wonder what other teams would be doing, you wonder when you look at teams, you're like, what are they going to do with this guy? He's a UFA. We talk about Columbus all the time, Bobrovsky and Panarin. What are you going to do? Sabres not in any different of a situation other than the fact that, you know, we know from, you know, Skinner's side that they like it here. He likes it here. Well, how could he not? He's performing at an insane rate. But question for you. What if, and this is a hypothetical for all you Office Space fans out there, what if Botterill gets an offer at the deadline for Jeff Skinner that he can't refuse, and he says to Skinner, look, I have a chance to trade you, okay? I'm going to trade you. Can only sign you to a 7-year deal when you come back. Here's what we'd be able to give you, 7 years. At this, come back with your best offer. We'll match it. If you love playing here, go get experience playing in the playoffs. I'm going to trade you to a contender. Bring that experience back here. We know you can score with Jack. We're going to tinker with some other things. We're going to acquire a fourth, maybe potentially a fourth first-round pick in this year's draft, which we could spin all those into maybe a player to play on the second-line center to help you guys out.
I literally want to punch you right now. What? So I'm confused with what you just said there.
Why are you confused? It doesn't make sense.
Did you just say that you want
to? I didn't say I want. I said this is a hypothetical.
This is Andrew's unpopular thought again.
It's what we do.
That you're telling me that you're thinking about trading Jeff Skinner at the deadline to get a draft pick.
Say you know the numbers. Say you know the numbers of what he wants. Like, so it's a 7-year deal. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you $30 million up front over the first 2 years. We'll do the same thing because this team can do it. So maybe that's what you do. I'll front load you $60 million bucks over the first 3 years you come back here. You want it all up front? Here you go. Like, I'll give you everything. Like, go win. Play 20 games in the playoffs. Play whatever. I mean, if the eighth year is the issue, I mean, you could probably figure
front load it,
and, front load it, yeah. And you know, find him a great financial advisor.
I'm going to tell you this,
and like just
I love it.
I'm not saying do it. I'm not saying I want to, but you got it. You'd have to do it, knowing for sure that the player's coming back. And I mean, I don't think there's. I mean, when you see what Austin Matthews just got front loaded and everything, I mean, that's why he signed the short term deal. The money left on the table is all front loaded so that he can, you know, take the extra $30 million, roll it into an account, and boom, he made more anyway.
Yeah.
Or is that the train of thought?
That's
Am I wrong?
That's exactly the train of thought.
So, I mean,
that's exactly what they're trying to do.
So I guess in my scenario, I mean, you're just basically, you know, you're loaning a guy out, knowing he's going to come back.
And you're going to get an asset for him. You're basically going to say, Jeff, this is what we have for you. Let's trade you. We'll get another first-round draft pick, maybe a prospect, blah, blah, blah. Who knows what you can get for Jeff Skinner at the deadline. It's extremely interesting.
Like,
but,
doesn't Boston need a sniper?
I wouldn't want to go down that road.
Is it too risky?
I just think, you know what? Let's just get Jeff Skinner signed, and that's. I just want to be really boring. I like where you're going with it. I like your head. You're always thinking, always trying to gain another draft pick, another first-rounder. We would have four first-rounders if we trade away Skinner and signed him again on July 1st. I mean,
I like where
your head's at.
Well, I don't think it's very popular. I think people on Twitter are lighting us up. Give me a call, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. What do you think of my thoughts? Also, we're talking about moral victory. So let's talk about this team tomorrow night. We just had Hammy on, the Bone, Paul Hamilton. The Islanders tomorrow. I mean, moral victories are the conversation around the locker room today. Moral victory, Hutton said it. Jack said moral victories are a thing of the past. Love what they're saying. But, I mean, in the end, Phil Housley's got to be confident a little bit. I think more confident going into that Islander game tomorrow than he probably was going into that Detroit game on Saturday it looked like the wheels were a little wobbly on the bus there on Friday, and then all of a sudden they tightened everything up, and here you have a team come out with a pretty solid effort over the whole weekend, and now you have the Islanders coming in who aren't going to give you much. They're going to be stingy. They're going to be, you're probably going to get Robin Leonard. You're going to get an emotional game. You're going to get, you're going to get a good team. This is a good team and a true test for the Sabres.
Yeah, I mean, this team is absolutely on fire right now. They're one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League, 7-1-2 in their last 10, and they just seem to be all in sync. Be honest with you, this is the one team that for me is very surprising with how they're playing. I'm sure that John Tavares right now in Toronto, who's having a fantastic season with the Maple Leafs, I'm sure he's sitting there scratching his head going, what is going on in the island? I mean, they're playing exceptionally well. They are the best defensive team in the league. They're scoring goals. And they're winning hockey games, which is the most important thing. And I just looked through their month of January. I mean, just win after win after win. They beat Tampa Bay 5-1, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And there's no sign that this team's going to fall off.
You mentioned John Tavares. Let's go around the league a little bit here. Get away from the Sabres. They play tomorrow, 7:00. We'll preview that whole game tomorrow. Marty, we'll be downtown tomorrow, actually. So I look forward to getting back downtown and watching the skates in the morning. So Instigators live from the morning skate. Marty will be by. We'll see if we can maybe grab Razor, see if we can maybe grab Dan Dunleavy and, get a nice little panel or going. See if anyone's in town from the Islanders maybe we can grab and bring on the show. But, so 7 o'clock tomorrow night, we'll be down there for the pregame skate. But this Georgiev kid shut the Leafs down the other night. Last night, I watched some of that game, and Leafs looked pretty good. But this kid, unbelievable, 55 saves in his birthday. Tied a record, I think, Mike Richter. I think he tied Mike Richter's record for most saves in a game. And so he shut down the Leafs. We mentioned this in the sports update. Blackhawks win their seventh straight to keep pace in the playoff race, which I think is amazing. I think the Western Conference standings alone is a discussion in itself. I mean, it's the first thing Jeremy Roenick brought up 2 weeks ago on our show how incredibly tight it is. And then you got the Ducks canning their coach. It's been a year of coaches getting fired.
Yeah.
Is that the biggest story for you around the league? I mean, did that take a little too long?
For me, I mean, some of the stories are these teams that were so far out of the playoffs at one point and now have emerged, and they're just building steam. You talked about the Chicago Blackhawks. They had absolutely no business even being in a conversation about playoffs. And now you have a Patrick Kane who's on a 14-game point streak. You have Chicago that's on a 7-game winning streak. They found a way. What's their new young coach there? He looks like he's 15.
Jeremy Calton.
Jeremy Calton. The guy looks like he's 17 years old.
And we praised this move, and then they stunk.
They stunk for a long time.
And then we're all
time.
Sitting here going like, man, we look like idiots because we thought a young, refreshing voice would kind of maybe be different from the, like Quenneville's a phenomenal coach. Those guys love him. But, I mean, sometimes you just have to change the record. And, you know, they got some young blood in there. And
coaches can't change it overnight. That's the reality. You just think that, hey, we're going to change the coach. Everything's going to be different. That's not the way. Things have to change. The structure in the team have to change. The mindset of the players has to change. And it takes time for that to change. And Jeremy Calton, I think, has done a marvelous job. I mean, I'm very surprised. He's the one guy. I think he's extremely, extremely young for his position that he took over. But he has certainly got these guys playing the right way. Patrick Kane looks like he's rejuvenated. You have the Dylan Strome, who the
you
big
are
trade.
On the record, by the way.
I love it.
Saying back maybe a month ago, they're done.
I did.
Which I think is great for the conversation, because the next team we're going to talk about, which actually has direct effects on the Sabres, is St. Louis, another team that we said they are done. But
St. Louis at one point was last in the league.
Yeah, I know. But they also, you know, the thing they always had on their side were games in hand. But it just what they're doing, they're winning. I mean, and their draft pick, by the way, for those of you, if you're not aware, their first round pick belongs to the Sabres, but they have first choice. And back, they were dead last. And we were talking about how Sabres aren't going to get that pick this year because they could be picking in the top five, and they're not going to pass on that pick. But then you kept on saying, well, how bad are they going to be next year if they get this bad?
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going in that direction either. And I don't know if that's St. Louis or just the teams around them playing just absolutely
well. They're
awful.
Healthy. Number one, they're healthy. They had Alex Steen was out. Vladimir Tarasenko was still in Russia on vacation, and now he's come back. Last game, he scored a hat trick. He scored in overtime to win the game.
He's more hungover from the offseason than Ovi.
That's right. I mean, Braden Schenn was not having a good season. The only player on this whole team in St. Louis that was having a good season is Ryan O'Reilly. And he's now the number one centerman there. But they were missing their captain and Alex Pietrangelo. They're back, and they're confident, and they're playing exceptionally well. So, you know, good for St. Louis, because I mean, I can't believe the turnaround in some of these seasons for these teams.
So you don't know where that pick. I mean, they could end up. I mean, if they lose in the first round, their pick could be what, somewhere between what 16,
17,
18,
yep.
Somewhere in there. Yep. So, I mean, my guess would be they probably pass on that.
I would think they would give
they
that up.
I
yes.
mean, and you know, San Jose is a lock to make it. Although, yeah, they're a lock to make it. They're so far ahead. But I mean, look at this. I think now, is it safe to say that LA's out? Anaheim's out.
Is it safe to say like
they're 8 points back?
Listen,
but is Edmonton?
There's
Edmonton,
27 games to go in Anaheim's schedule.
You can't make up 8 points in 27 games.
Why not?
That's a lot. That's a lot of points right now. I mean, you look at the teams that are ahead of you and how they're playing. They're out. They're done.
I'm sure they are.
And I think now that's the line, right? I think Edmonton's the first team, I think, outside of the wild
Arizona.
Card that could still make it. Arizona's in there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have Chicago at 55. They're 4 points back. I mean, and St. Louis still has games in hand on everybody. I could even see them starting to climb into the division. I mean, they could finish third in their division. St. Louis Blues, that could be, I mean, they made a coaching change too.
Yes, they did.
And they
yes,
have
they
the big guy back there, Berube.
Yep.
Berube, doesn't matter to me. Don't mess with him. He's been highly touted as a head coach candidate for a lot of teams back from when he was in Philly.
Yep.
I remember he was in Philly. How are these teams going to fill these coaching voids? A lot of jobs open in the offseason.
Yes, there is.
Like Quenneville. We were talking about McClellan.
Alain Vigneault is still out there.
Alain Vigneault.
You know,
is Carlisle done? Does, you know, like, where do you go with Carlisle? You know what I saw last night? Funny, we're talking coaches. I was watching the Ranger Leaf game, and they called the timeout at the end there, and there's Lindy Ruff drawing up the play. And he's smiling with the guys on the ice that are going out to play. And I'm just kind of thinking, that's a different Lindy. That's assistant coach Lindy.
That's assistant coach Lindy.
He was never smiling when drawing up plays.
Not once.
Late in the game or on the bench smiling. A guy's going out for a face-off and he's laughing with it. I'm just kind of like, I would have loved to have played for that Lindy.
Yes.
That would have been a great Lindy to play for. Good talk, Riv. All right. That's around the league. That's your Western Conference update. And buy, sell, trade coming up when we come back here. As I mentioned, Sabres host the Islanders tomorrow, 7 p.m. puck drop. We will be down at the rink from the KeyBank Center, and we'll be joined, I guess, on set with Marty. We'll ask about Dan, and we'll see what Razor's up to. Instigators, more when we return. Buy, sell, trade coming up, WGR 550 and MSG.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
Sabres host the Islanders tomorrow night, 7 p.m. That brings us to our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. And let's rip right through this one. Buy-sell trade. The Islanders will win the Metropolitan Division.
That one to me is very, very easy. They're basically competing with the Washington Capitals, Columbus Blue Jackets, and Pittsburgh Penguins. Right now, you have the Islanders that sit with 72 points, and behind them is Washington at 67, and Columbus 65. Pittsburgh is at 63. I think the Islanders are going to walk away with this division without question. Right now, the Islanders are 7-1-2 in their last 10 games, three-game winning streak. And you have the Washington Capitals, that's 5 points behind. They're playing abysmal hockey right now. They're 3-5-2. Columbus Blue Jackets are 5-5 in the last 10 games. Pittsburgh Penguins are a whopping 3-6-1. None of these teams are doing are going to challenge, I think, the Islanders. They're just too strong.
I'm selling this. I think the Caps will turn it on at the right time, and they'll end up, and we'll see probably, you know, Islanders and whoever, whether it's Pittsburgh or Columbus or even Philadelphia.
Pittsburgh's 9 points behind them, though.
No, I mean in the second round. In the first round of the playoffs, I'm saying you'll see Washington or the Islanders against either Columbus or Pittsburgh in the first round of the playoffs. Maybe Philadelphia, though, too, and that's a huge game tonight. I don't know if you're like, you want to talk scoreboard watching. I mean, why are two teams from the Atlantic and the Battle of Pennsylvania such a big conversation? And I'll tell you what.
Go the Flyers. Atlanta,
no, the Metropolitan, sorry. The reason is because Pittsburgh's in wild card number two, and the Flyers are on fire, and they're behind the Sabres by 4 points, and they are playing really good hockey. So this will be an unbelievable game. I don't know who to root for.
Oh, it's very simple.
Is it?
Very simple. You want Philadelphia to win this. You want to be knocking down that wild card spot team in Pittsburgh. And let me tell you, if the Sabres play like they did this last weekend, even though they went 1-1, I think that they will continue to get better, and good things will happen for the Sabres.
The Philadelphia Flyers, I have a feeling they could make the playoffs.
Well, they're playing. They're playing tremendous hockey right now.
It's absolutely ridiculous with the way they've just gone. Carter Hart.
Yeah.
I mean, they make the playoffs. I mean, he's got to be in the conversation for the Calder Trophy, if he's not already.
No question. I mean, but he's got to continue his rampant pace because he started so slow. But I mean, he's doing wonders. He is the game changer right now for the Flyers. There's no question. He's played absolutely fantastic for the Flyers, giving them a chance to win.
Will Smith is going to be the Aladdin genie. Have you seen that?
I did see that.
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, he's jacked up too. That's a big man.
It's a great role for him. You know who played the genie in the original Aladdin? It's the movie trivia for a guy that necessarily isn't great with movies. Did you ever watch Aladdin with any of your 12 kids?
Yeah, but in cartoon form.
That's the one I'm talking about. Who was the genie? Who was the genie? Come on, Riv. Come on.
Is he a comedian?
Yes. Is JJ helping you in your
ear? Is he passed away now?
Yes. Legend, icon. We have 30 seconds.
Goodwill Hunting guy.
That guy, yeah.
Okay, what's
his
name?
Yeah, Robin Williams.
Robin Williams. Right, I knew it. I got it.
River. We'd get there. We knew we'd get him there. Speaking of getting there, you're going to be there next with One Bills Live from noon to 3. And tomorrow, don't forget, the Instigators are live from the KeyBank Center for the game. Islanders in town, 7 p.m. puck drop. We join in studio or on set with Marty Biron. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.